Up next, a lonely outsider, a language barrier, and a heartwarming reminder that no matter who you are, sometimes all you need is a friend. Saying he was just looking for a friend.
Yes, ma'am.
You felt rejected, misunderstood. It's a big reason why I built the translator for him.
Mr. Godzilla, how did you feel when you first made contact with mankind?
First of all, thank you for having me on. Frankly, I was lonely. As the only giant radioactive reptile on the planet, there were not many opportunities for friendship.
When people looked at him, all they saw was a massive, rampaging, city-destroying monster.
Is that because he is a massive, rampaging, city-destroying monster?
But he's a good dude. On the inside, he's got a huge heart.
When I met Godzilla, he had just destroyed my entire school. I liked him immediately.
I noticed one puny speck was not running or screaming or firing artillery shells at me. I was really quite moved.
I took the time to listen, to learn his language. I now speak Shriek fluently.
Hi, can I get a spicy salmon and a dragon roll? Oh, and seven whales.
A small side salad as well.
We've been tied ever since, you know? He's got my back, I've got his. I really look up to him.
T-Rex.
Dragon.
Loch Ness Monster.
Two words.
What is this? That's a dab. That's the worst dab I've ever seen.
Two words.
Greg has been like a big brother to me. A really, really tiny, almost microscopic big brother. And even though I do have boogers in my nose right now that are bigger than him, he has had an enormous impact on my life.
Yeah, I mean, we're homies for life. Right, big fella?
My brother from another mother.
Is that safe?
Oh, he's very gentle.
Greg? Are you okay, buddy? Greg?
But I think it makes a point, which we are all made for relationship, and when we don't have it, we tend to go looking for it. Now, some of you will recognize, or at least know what I'm trying to get at with my title slide, because, I mean, here's the thing. We are created for relationship. We are wired for it. I would argue that in this day and age, it's not always easy, especially with the insurgence of social media. And so some of you recognize this, and some of you have no clue because you're fighting the man and you refuse to go into the social media era, which that is your right, that's fine. But this is, you know, if you are a Facebooker, so I'm just gonna bring you up to speed a little bit. So if you're a Facebook person, and I'm hoping you at least have some kind of a semblance of what social media does. You know, it allows people to interact. But you don't just go on and instantly have access to everyone. You actually have to go through this process called a friend request, right? And so you go and it shows you people that you might know and might not know. And so you have the option to request to see if they are willing to be your friend, which I think is really kind of an interesting thing, because I think sometimes when, you know, if you're somebody that was already just desperate for connection, and you're dealing with self-esteem issues, that whole process of going through, because you put the friend request and then it kind of sits there, right? Somebody calling me? Who calls her? All right. Is it? Yeah. You're lucky a name did not pop up, so it's somebody, because I would have called you out right now in front of the congregation. No, it wasn't. It's just one of those Sundays, man. So anyway, this friend request, and so it sits there, and it hangs, and there's different philosophies. I know people that have thousands of friends. They accept absolutely anybody that friend requests them. And I don't know why you would do that, because there's some real whack jobs on Facebook. And then there are people that, you know, and I'm one of those, I'm a bad Facebook person, because I only accept you if I actually want to engage or I want to stalk you. But I have probably 12, 15 people sitting in my request box, because I don't want to tell them no, but I don't want to make them my friends either. Yeah, a few of you know what I'm talking about. So they just sit there. I don't know if it's a power thing, that eventually I might accept you, you know, type of thing. But that's not as bad as, anybody been booted? Come on, I know I'm not the only one, right? So here you go, you've done it, you booted me. Okay, all right. So, yeah, all right. So here you have all these friends. And then somebody decides they don't want to be your friend anymore, so they just boot you off Facebook. You don't get a note, you don't get some little pop-up screen that says, hey, you've been booted from so-and-so's Facebook. And so then you either find out by, maybe you wanted to search them, and then all of a sudden they're not on your Facebook anymore, or you see them respond to a friend that you have in common, and you look and they're like, hey, you can ask them to be a friend, and they've rejected you. Beth and I just had this. We're driving, I went to kindergarten with this person, and I was like, we haven't heard from so-and-so in a while. So she's in the car, she goes on Facebook, she's like, yeah, she's not on my account anymore and whatnot. So I'm just going to tell you, if you boot me, I just assume you don't want a pastor seeing what you're doing. So I am just going to assume that you are not doing good things if you boot me from your Facebook, and it's not me, it's you. And so there it is. But here's the thing with the whole social media thing, which I think has totally gone crazy in our country. I think it speaks to a truly deeper need that we all have, and it's that idea of how desperate we need human connection. Even if it is artificial in some ways, even if it's only pseudo-connection, I think it speaks to our humanity. Otherwise, why would social media be as popular as it is? I mean, we really want to know all the time what people around us are doing, and it's because we are meant to be connected. And you know what? And the Bible speaks of this, and we're going to get there, but I want to show you just to the point where science has proven this fact to be true. And I Googled, another wonderful thing, I Googled just the idea of relationship. And these are actual studies that are out there. One study, and it examined, and this is from Harvard Medical, right, studied 309,000 people, right? And they found that the lack of strong relationships increased the risk of premature death from all causes by 50%. And mortality rate roughly compared to smoking up to 15 cigarettes a day and greater than obesity and physical inactivity. One researcher read that and said, you know what, if you're going to smoke, at least don't do it alone, right? Because then you're really multiplying years. But think about that. Lack of social interaction is more dangerous than obesity, physical inactivity, and it's like you're smoking 15 cigarettes a day. The American Institute of Stress conducted this research on 232 patients that had gone through cardiac surgery. Of those patients, 21 died within 6 months, and the two most significant mortality predictors were lack of participation in social or community groups, or the absence of strength and comfort from religion. That's your bonus nugget. We're not going to go there today, but if you have no social group and you don't have a religious group, I mean, you're really setting yourself up for a lot of other issues. There was another study. They had reviewed 148 studies, and they found that people with strong social relations are 50% less likely to die prematurely, so they live longer. They've shown that they are in healthier relationships, that they have less stress, that they heal faster and better, they have healthier behaviors, they have a greater sense of purpose. All simply because you have relationships with other people. Finally, I found an article, and it was sharing the five reasons why relationships should be our top priority. Number one, relationships fulfill your most important need. Now, that's a secular thing. I think our most important need is Jesus Christ. But from this perspective, a relationship with Jesus Christ maybe fits in there. Number two, relationship is where we get our greatest joy. 3, relationship is the only way we have lasting impact on others. That one I don't know if I totally agree with, but 4, relationship means that you have support in times of trouble. And 5, eventually, relationships are the only thing that matter. At the end of days, if you've ever chatted with someone in their 90s, frankly, the job and a lot of other stuff fade away. What they talk about and what they focus on is those people that they love. And again, I mean, just those couple studies are just scratching the surface. And I think you would be hard-pressed to exhaust the extent of the research that points to the simple fact that we need one another. We need to be in community. We need to be in relationship with one another. And again, I don't think we have to go there because I think we instinctively know this. I mean, you know that you need people. I mean, we might not like admit it. We might not like to admit it all the time because maybe we see it as weakness. But we need one another. And it's no surprise that God's word tells us the exact same things that science has. Philippians 2:4, let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Meaning what? If you're going to have right, healthy relationships, and we're all in this relational boat together, it works better if we're not selfish. I mean, we need to be, if we're in relationships that all we're doing is taking, then that's a toxic, and community can't exist in that. But before we get on this road, just look at how God has broached this concept. From the very beginning, before science, before everything, God knew this to be true. Genesis 2:18. The Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper as a partner. Now, on one level, we fully understand that this is the whole thing. Before God made Eve, and it was Adam, and he was the only one, and all the animals had their partners. But he still makes this statement. It is not good that man should be alone. This is a powerful declaration of the creator of the universe. And I think it is absolutely as true today as it was then. And yes, on one level, he was talking about helpmates, but on an entirely different level, he's making a statement on how we as human beings were created. And he spells this out in different places in his word. Ecclesiastes 4:9 through 12, just a practical way of looking at this. 2 are better than 1 because they have a good reward for their toil. If they fall, one will lift the other up, but woe to the one who is alone and falls and does not have another to help. Again, if 2 lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one might prevail against another, 2 will stand without 1. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. I mean, this is just make sense, practical time of stuff. You know, if you're in there's a big hole and you fall in it, and you don't have anybody to help you up, you're stuck. You know, if you sleep with a hot box and you're cold, you know how that is, right? Or 2 against 1. So we just see this throughout the scripture. We see this concept that life is better, life is safer, and life is more rewarding when it's done with others. And the Bible goes on. Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpens iron, and just as one person sharpens the wits of another. I don't care how good you are better when other people invest in you, when other people come alongside you and speak truth and encouragement into your lives. Proverbs 12:25, heaviness in the heart of man makes it droop, but a good word makes it glad. How easy is it for you if you're down to try to get yourself up and encourage yourself? Isn't it much easier to get out of a funk if someone comes alongside you and speaks joy and happiness in your life? It's not an accident. We're wired that way. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so does the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Good advice from those that love us and we love do us good. And again, this is just a few little verses within the word that point again and again and again to the simple fact that we were built for relationship. Now, if I had to guess, I don't think I've shared any information this morning that probably is brand new. Again, I think we instinctively understand that we needed each other and we were built for each other. But this is my point, all right? We are to be building relationship with others, and one of the best places to do that is within the church, regardless if someone believes or not. That's the nugget of truth I want you to take. that we are to be building relationships, and I believe that one of the best places to do that is within the church, regardless if someone is a believer or not. And I think, again, this is Friend Day. I know we have a few friends, but the most of you are here. And we need to understand that because I think it really changes our mindset as we engage and as we invite, because I think sometimes we can get, well, they're not religious people, or, oh, they're not a believer. That's beside the point. We are to be inviting them into this community. And I will argue, when you look at today's culture, I think it's actually, even with social media and all the technological advances and everything that we have going for us, I would make the case or the argument that I think is harder to build relationships now than it was a few years ago. And when I wrote that down and I started thinking about it, I think because even though we have more technology, I think we're more isolated than we have been, which I think comes from stuff like what happened this week, and so the whole trust factor, you know, we have the whole, oh, strangers are, you know, people we just haven't met yet. Well, no, a stranger might be someone who's incredibly dangerous that wants to do me bodily harm. I mean, our trust factor in society has gone way, way down, and that's, I mean, you can make a good case for it, but I think we're more isolated, we're more wary of each other, we don't trust, and frankly, we're busier. And I'm not saying we're busier doing anything better than past, but in the past, without all the technology and stuff, people knew that they wanted to sit around the table together. They knew they wanted to sit and the worth of chatting and all that stuff. And we're busy doing a bunch of stuff that ultimately isn't going to mean jack. I mean, how much time wasted are we here in this versus investing in the lives around us? And so when I look at the church in America now, I think where it has to be putting its energy is inviting people into true, loving, supportive community. Because they might not be open to Jesus yet, but they might be out on an island desperate for human contact. And God can use that. They find their way into a community that want nothing to do with God, but they're loved and they're supported and they're accepted and all those things that come with a community. You don't think God could use that to reveal himself and show in a mighty way? And so again, when you look at the opportunities for true relationship and community in our culture, in our society, I think it's shrinking. And I think that's where the church has to be. And as I look at that, I mean, I think social media is a cause and effect of that. I mean, we want to be more connected. We have more information. And yet, because we're on it all the time, we're not doing the face-to-face thing. And here's the thing. I made that case that I think the church needs to be at that center point. And this is why. Because I think here's my expectation of you as a church attender. And again, if you're not a attender, I want to show you really what we're working at here. And I want you to invite you in the process. Because I truly believe that, you know, the belief thing is not a required part of being in part of the community here. Yes, ultimately our goal would be that, you know, our hope for all of us is that God continues to reveal himself to us. But again, we can never believe that it's a prerequisite for being loved and cared for if someone comes in and they're not a believer. Because here at this point, you know, I've just been showing this broad umbrella of God's in relationship, he created us. But then, when we look at it within the confines of the church, he raises the ante quite a bit. And that's what we're just going to quick look at here. So, look at Galatians 6:10. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. So here, again, within living out our faith and doing what we need to as Christians and doing life together, I mean, the Bible point blank tells us, again, if you're not working for the good of those around you, you are living a selfish, self-centered life that God does not intend for you. If it's all about you, you're dead wrong. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you do. You might be a heart surgeon. You might be a brain surgeon. You might be pushing the edge of wonderful technology, but if you're just living for you, you're blowing it. And then, again, we see that especially for those in the family of faith, we need to take care of each other. We need to be building those relationships. We need to be investing. And so, I mean, that's why we as a church and a church family, we need to be active in working toward this. And this is, I mean, look at what we're actually called to do. A couple of verses. 1 John 4:21. The command we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. If you are serious about loving God, you cannot get past the fact that you have to be loving your brothers and sisters in the faith as well. You can't have one without the other. You can't do it. Because why? The Bible says God is love. You are to be giving your life away. If you say you love God and you're not loving people, you don't love God. That's the point blank. And so as we look at this, this includes stuff like Romans 12:10. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. I mean, I will tell you, I love watching you people during our greeting time. Why? Because it is very, whether you're a first timer or whatever, that's that mutual affection. And I get it. You know, some of you are, look at that, I caught him. You like that? Thank you. There you go. People will be listening online. They're like, what in the heck just happened? It's all right. But loving each other with mutual affection. And again, I know some of us are huggers. Some of us aren't huggers. And I love watching those of you come together in greeting because there's that awkwardness. And it's fantastic. But truly, I mean, mutual affection. The original language talks about just a dedication, a devotion to one another. I mean, how devoted are you to the people that you share the pew with? We need to be. Here's the catch, though. It's hard to be devoted to people that you don't really know. So we need to continue to work on that. And then outdo one another in showing honor. I mean, what a fantastic challenge for us as individuals. Because what is our natural, what happens out there? People seek honor, right? I want honor for myself. And here within this confines, we're like, no. We're trying to outdo each other. Well, I mean, is there another place out in society that has this as a standard? I couldn't think of one. Where you instantly come in and people are going to try to love you with affection and they're going to try to honor you. I mean, come on. This is an attractive thing for people. I mean, the thing is, people out there don't know that this is what the church is to be about, and that's on us. I mean, we need to raise that bar. And again, as we engage and invite, be going, look, it doesn't matter your feelings on God. I'm inviting you into something that I find worth in and has added so much meaning to my life. And these are the kind of things that we're looking at doing, this honor thing. Here's another one, Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. Again, we see this. We live in a culture of challenge and demand and dog-eat-dog and climbing the corporate ladder and all these things. And here we are called to be, I mean, how often do you experience, I mean, there is kindness out there. I'm not going to say that everyone out there is harsh and mean, but you never know what you're going to get. There are kind people out there, and then there are some pretty mean people out there. But within here, kindness needs to be raised up. Tender-hearted. Then I think the forgiving one another, because here I think God knew that as community and relationship happens, as people come together in family, we're going to irritate each other on occasion. We're going to tick each other off. That's just the nature of people being in community with each other, but forgiving one another. Why? Because it's worth it. Love costs something. I mean, I think that's another reason why people isolate. Because sometimes, you know, there are people that have been hurt so bad so many times, they just don't want to risk it anymore. They just want the pain to stop. Because the people that love you most are also the ones that can hurt you the worst. And yet, we are called in this kindness and tenderheartedness and willingness to forgive. I mean, this needs to be a place of love and acceptance and a willingness to fight for those things to exist within the church body, because it is what God has called us and created us to be. Because here's other two, just two other quick verses that I think feed right into this. Colossians 3:23. Whatever you task, put yourself into it as done for the Lord and not for your masters. Now, see, we tend to read this and we're thinking about our job. I would argue that this verse has everything to do with what we're talking about this morning. The relationships you are building, the community you are a part in, you need to be doing it for the sake of God, and ultimately not for the sake of yourself or others. Now, when we do that, do we get what we need and other people get what they need? Absolutely. But what that allows us to do is to forgive and move on and not take the hurts, because we're doing it for God. And so when I challenge you to build relationships and invest yourself in a community within this church and then reaching out, that's part of it. You're doing it for God, Father himself. Then the other verse I think we just need, because you know what? You're going to drive me crazy. I know I'm going to drive you crazy. It's the nature of relationship, Galatians 6:9. So let's not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at the harvest time if we do not give up. Community, relationship is worth it. I mean, guess what? You're not going to be isolated in heaven. You are going to spend eternity with the full body of Christ. Yeah, we're going to be perfected, so hopefully we aren't going to have to be forgiving each other as much. But God intends this. So my challenge is just this, whether you're a visitor or whatever, to continue to give yourselves to one another. I mean, and when we do that, God shows up in really amazing ways. He works in us. He works through us. He grows us. He gives us what we are in need of. And he blesses not only us, but God is honored in that process. When we operate in this way, when we treat each other with kindness and tenderness and forgiving, when we're giving our lives, it pleases God. It is an act of worship. So for every one of you, whether you've been here longer than I have or whether you're just visiting today, on behalf of Living Hope, I extend a friend request to you. Come join us. Come be part of this community and family here. Not only will you be better for it, but I believe that you too will be greatly blessed in the process. Please pray with me. Our gracious Heavenly Father, God, we do thank you for relationship. We thank you for community. We thank you for the fact that you've wired us this way, and we confess that we haven't always done it well, not only as a church, not only as individuals, and yet we understand that you've called it to us, and when it does work well, when you're in the midst of it, man, it's a powerful thing, and it grows us, and it blesses us, and it protects us, it gives us support. This is the essence of the life that you've called us to. And so just as a church family, I would ask that you would just continue to ingrain this truth in us, so as we're engaging and inviting people in this community, that yes, ultimately we know it's about Jesus Christ, but Lord, we also know that people aren't there yet, and yet there are people that are isolated and hurting, and they can come and receive something here that would ultimately point them to your truth and your love. So we just pray that you would use us in ways that we might not even realize that you want to. But that we would see people with your eyes, that we would be able to love people with your heart, and that you would just continue to grow us together as your family here. And we ask this in Jesus' powerful name. Amen.